Well, again, our text is from Genesis 1. I encourage you to leave that open before you as we'll be working through that passage. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, recently Chris Hadfield, the Canadian astronaut, returned from space. He was there for a number of months. And perhaps some of you followed his story on the news or you saw some of the pictures that he put up. Maybe you read a virtual newspaper or follow it along in Twitter or something like that. He was asked one time by Peter Mansbridge of the CBC's National how he felt when he was up there. And Hadfield gave a response that almost made it sound like he was a Christian. He was simply amazed at what he saw. And there was at one point where he was actually talking to a school. The Prime Minister was there, and what he said there was quite something. He talked about being able to see a panorama of the entire country in about 10 minutes, going from Vancouver across in space to the Maritimes. And as he described it there, it was this smooth as silk feeling of speeding around the globe. And he said, it just fills me with pride. It was so beautiful what he had to say that it was a pity that it came short of giving glory to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And we begin that way because it really demonstrates the purpose of this text. I wonder what kind of reaction you have to creation. I don't know what creation does to you when you look at it. As a young person, what do you think about creation? Well, perhaps creation is sort of an embarrassing topic. You don't like to be labeled as an old fogey Christian who believes in creation while the rest of the world believes in evolution. Or perhaps we're too preoccupied with our daily activities that we don't even take the time to glorify the Lord. We're guilty of ignoring His handiwork. Or perhaps you do. You do take the time. And that's your testimony. You give glory to God over His creation. But we too can be like the world. Obviously, we don't want to be like that today. We want to be able to look at what God has made through the eyes of covenant people who are excited about the glory of God in creation. And that's going to be our theme this afternoon as we look at the glory of God in creation. As we look at these verses, we see that God took great pleasure in His works. The word good is used several times. We often find that statement. And God saw that it was good. It was pleasing or pleasant. He said this after He made the lights, after He made the plants, after He made the sun, moon, and the stars, and after He made the animals. And then we have the conclusion to all of this found in the last verse that we read, verse 31. And we read there, God saw everything that He made, and indeed it was what? Children, indeed it was very good. It was exceedingly good. It was pleasing to Him. It was a reflection of His good character. Everything that He made was remarkably good. And thus we see God's delight, His satisfaction, His approval in the work of His hands. And we have an emphasis upon the goodness of His creation, upon the excellence in what He made. There was nothing that was not good in creation which came from His hand. And so God's Word is also calling us to take pleasure in what He has made. Because this is what we're called to do as covenant people. You're to take pleasure in what God has made. You'll be able to say, God made this earth good. Or to say along with the psalmist, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Or Psalm 19, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, and those who dwell therein. Especially that we can say, God has made this world to show the glory of His goodness. And so we want to see His glory in four different ways this afternoon. First of all, His glory is seen in the creation of light, in the expanse, and in the separation of the waters from the land. We see that in verses 2 to 10. In verse 1, we have a general statement that shows us that God is the creator of all things, both visible and invisible. He made everything. History had its beginning in Him because He created it. And yet notice the condition of the earth at this early stage of creation. Verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It's clear that this was not a place to live. It was formless and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that there was an emptiness. There was a formlessness. It was not a place to live or inhabit. But there's a ray of hope given right away here. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God is like a described here like a mighty eagle flying over her nest, looking after her young. And so God came upon this formless and empty place, and He created the earth and the heavens. He made a place that plants and animals could live on. And notice how He did this in steps and stages through these 6 days. On the first day, He created light. God Himself is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And so for Him on this first day to create light is not a hard thing. You see, this creation of light was absolutely essential for there to be any life on the planet. And God saw the light, and He delighted in it. It was good. It was perfect. It was complete. And it was the beginning and the order of time as we know it, because He called the light day, and He called the darkness light, or night, pardon me. God created the schedule as we know it. And then on the second day, we see the creation of the firmament. God separated waters from waters. Verse 7 says, He made a firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters above the firmament. Now, what exactly is this? What we have here is the sky, the heavens. That included the atmosphere, the air that we breathe. What a wonderful blessing it is to know that God created the sky, the atmosphere, to make this place habitable. That's what God did on the second day. And then on the third day, you'll notice more separation, the separation of the dry land from the waters that were present when the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth. And thus we see how God made great land masses and continents. God has shaped and molded. He set things up for the rest of His creation to take place there. These first 3 days, He created heavens, earth, and the seas. And He made it so that the world would be filled with the rest of His creation, which He made the following days. That's how the earth came to have a definite form. There was not only the sky, the atmosphere, and the oceans, there was the dry land. The earth was ready to sustain life, and it became a place to live. It's because of the word of the Lord. You notice how often that phrase is repeated. God said. It's used there a total of 10 times. God said. God said. God said. 10 times is the number of what? It's the number of completion. In other words, the Father made, He fashioned, He created in a perfect way. Lord's Day 9 says to us, the Father who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them. Psalm 33 remembers God's works in this way. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And you know, this is the kind of thing that we enjoy. How many of you have gone on vacation to your favorite destinations, whether it's, you know, the White Shell or Clear Lake or Grand Beach or Northwestern Ontario, maybe Algonquin Park? We all have our favorite places that are known for their rugged beauty and landscape. And many of these places are close to a body of water. Ontario alone has the most freshwater lakes of anywhere else in Canada, or for the world for that matter. According to Wikipedia, there are 250,000 lakes and streams found in the province of Ontario. What an amazing number of bodies of water. Manitoba also is an amazing province. We're like an hour and a half away from much of this beauty that we're talking about. And what boggles the mind is that we're surrounded by all this beauty, and yet so many fail to see the wonder of the Creator. Where we are right here in Canada is a witness of the awesomeness of our Creator. He's made all that we see. Just look out there. There's the white clouds in the sky. There's the water. This is all a portrait displaying the glory of the Lord. And it calls us to praise and honor His name. That's a challenge to you today, to consider the greatness of your God and to worship Him today in response to all of this. But not only is His glory seen in the creation of lights and the expanse and the separation of land and water, the glory of God is seen, secondly, in the creation of the heavenly bodies. And this we see in verses 14 to 19. Verse 16 says, then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. These were made to rule the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness. According to verse 14, they were created by God to divide the day from the night and to be signs and seasons for days and years. Have you ever thought about the wonder of the solar system? Have you ever looked up at the heavenly bodies? You know, perhaps you have a telescope. That's your hobby. You like to examine all that's up above us. Well, you know what this is talking about then. God made the sun to rule the day, and He made the moon to rule the night. This is the amazing fact about the greater light and the lesser light in the heavens. God made these huge bodies, these heavenly bodies, with great precision. And He put them on a course so that we can distinguish between two parts of the day, the night and the day. God made the sun to keep the climate warm on planet Earth. He made it to keep the plants alive. And you think of where the sun has been placed. It's 93 million miles away from the earth. And all the other plants revolve around it. Planets revolve around it. It's placed exactly where it's needed to sustain life. Without the sun, we wouldn't have life on this planet. That's the greater light that God has made. He also has made the lesser light to rule the night. The nearest satellite that God has created is the moon. And it isn't just 1,000 miles away from us. No, it's at a safe distance. 232,000 miles away from us. And it's this huge ball that rotates around the earth once every 24 hours. You ever think about how massive the moon is? About how humongous the sun is? We can only estimate at the weight of these great objects. God made the sun and the moon perfectly so that they run their course. And the earth orbits the sun every 365 days. We take that for granted. But these two lights show the wonder and the glory of the Creator. We read in the book of Jeremiah, and we come across statements about the ordinances of the moon and the stars. We read about God making a covenant with the day and a covenant with the night. He made these heavenly bodies to regulate time, to regulate the seasons. And He made them so that we will know when the day begins. And yet how often we get up in the morning and we take it for granted that the sun will rise and will set on that same day. We often are so busy in our lives that we don't even take notice of these things. And yet think about the way that God ordered the heavens in such a way that we rely upon the light of the sun for heat and for light. Without the sun, the moon wouldn't shine at night. But God made them so that we would know when to get up in the morning and when to go to sleep. And they're there to help us to know the time of day. Without them, we wouldn't even be alive. Or how about the stars? Have you ever looked up to the heavens? Verse 14 says that the stars were made for signs. They've been used for navigation when sailors were out at sea. Sailors looked to the North Star as a reference point to know where they were going. And also the wise men followed the star to Bethlehem because they knew that this was a sign for the coming king. The Messiah. When you look up into the sky around a campfire, maybe sometime this week, if the sky is clear, you will see many stars. There are millions of them, which we can't even see with the naked eye. But God created all these heavenly bodies on the fourth day along with the sun and the moon. We live in a universe that is precisely made. God made a covenant with the day and a covenant with the night out of His goodness for His creatures. How does that affect us, congregation, as we think about the creation? How do we respond? Well, it humbled the psalmist in Psalm 8. The Lord made these remote celestial bodies for the purpose of helping man. And that made him confess, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him?" God made these lights in the heavens. And what a blessing that is for us to consider, to be able to consider the greatness of the heavens, and to think that God has made them for us. Well, that brings us to the third point. The glory of God is seen, thirdly, in the creation of plant and animal life. We see that God created plant life on the third day. We see that in verses 11 and 12. Because God made the dry land, He now adorns it with plants and with trees. Plants that have seeds, trees that have their fruit. God spoke and it happened. God just said it and it was there. Verse 11, God gives the command, and then in verse 12 we see the results. Verse 12 says, "And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was very good." Notice that phrase, "whose seed is in itself." That's a very important phrase to see here. It shows the intelligence behind the creation of plants. God wasn't just making plants. He also made plants for the purpose of preserving His creation. He made the plants in such a way that they would continue to propagate and produce more food. Notice as well that the variety of plant life. Here we have a very modest statement, really, about the tremendous diversity and variety of plants. God didn't create every plant the same way. No, He adorned each plant with beauty, with color, with texture. He made them pleasant to look at and to smell. Think about the variety and the number of plants. God made trees that blossom and flower so that they can bear fruit. He made all variety of trees for shade and for beauty. But notice as well the variety of plant life. Here again we have a modest statement about the tremendous diversity and variety of plants. God did not create every plant the same way. He adorned each plant with beauty, with color, and with different textures. He made them pleasant to look at and to smell. Think also about the variety and number of plants. You know, we can just use one as an example. Think of the tamarack tree. It's only one of many trees. And yet it's very distinct. What kind of tree is this? What family does it belong to? It belongs to the coniferous trees. Most of Canada is thriving with them. But they're the only coniferous tree that loses its leaves, or its needles in this case, in the fall. But that's just one type of tree. We have a God who loves variety, who loves beauty and diversity. Trees are over 500,000 plants in total existence. And each of them shows the variety of God. They're made for our enjoyment. They've been made for our recreation and for us to see and appreciate. And not only this, they're made for food. He made them to feed people and animals. There are over 6 billion people on the earth right now. That's a large amount of population. And yet God has made plants to give life. It's a remarkable thing. He provides for our daily bread. He made the plants for His glory. And He wants us to receive His blessings, to give Him the glory. In fact, it's a sin not to give glory to God. It's a sin not to drink a glass of orange juice to the glory of God. He made that for us to enjoy. We can enjoy it for its color, for its taste. You know, God could have made orange juice gray. He could have made every plant the same, but He made things with such a variety and with different tastes and textures and flavor. And it's a shame to us if we don't glorify Him when we drink a glass of orange juice. Instead, we have to confess with our catechism this afternoon, I trust my Father so much that I do not doubt that He will provide for my body and my soul. Then we also have the creation of animals. We see this in day 5 and in day 6. On the 5th day, we have the creation of the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, great sea creatures. Verse 21 says, so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then look at verse 25, day 6, we read, and God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And yet notice that very important phrase which is repeated, that each was made after its kind. That means that each animal was created differently. They each have their own genetic code. Each kind gives birth to its own kind. God blessed them. And they were fruitful. They multiplied and they filled the earth and the air and the sea. That means that rabbits don't beget horses. And horses don't beget rabbits. That's not the way that the Lord made animals. He made them according to their kinds. And again, we see the variety. When we look at the animal kingdom, we see that God loved to make each creature different and for different purposes. Basically, He gives three categories here. There are the cattle, which refer to those animals which can be domesticated. There are the creeping things, the small creatures that creep on the ground. And then there are the beasts of the earth, four-legged creatures that run wild. And again, this is just a brief classification of the number of animals. Just a modest statement of all the different kinds of land animals that have been made. All these have been created. Just think of what we're known for in our own country here, Canada. We take the beaver, the loon, and the moose. The beaver may seem like a sort of an odd creature, but a beaver is one of the few animals in this world that can make a tree fall down. And they're actually very important because they take streams and they make them into lakes, and this supports a lot of other animals. It's a pretty amazing animal that the Lord has made. Or what about loons? The loon is an aquatic bird. It can't walk on the land. It has to always be in the water. It breeds in the water. It raises its young and lives and eats its food in the water. It's known for its beautiful haunting call. Why is it here with us today? Because God created it. And then there's the moose. This massive animal. Their legs are 2 meters long. The males grow antlers every year that weigh 25 kilograms, about 55 pounds. Their body weight is massive, so massive that if you were to hit it with a car, it could be fatal, not just for the moose, but for yourself. It's one of the few animals that can walk around in swamps for days to get food. It's an animal that's fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a wildness about it because that's the way that God has made it. It's a beast of the field. All this shows us the wonder of what God has made with His hands, revealing the glory of creation and the glory of the Creator. We see it here in the pages of the first chapter of Genesis. Well, that leads us to the last thing that we see here, the glory of God seen in the creation of man. After all these things are made, in these 6 days of creation, God made man. The world has been made for us. No other place is for us to inhabit. God made the moon. It's the closest body that's near to us. We landed on the moon in 1969. But that's not a place for us to live. It's only here that we can have life, where there's air and water and vegetation. We could walk on the moon, but we could never live there. God made this entire planet, and that at the end of it, He made us. We're made, verse 26 says, after the image of God. That is, we are made, every one of us here, male and female, we've been made fearfully and wonderfully before the Lord. But every one of you is a demonstration of God's handiwork, of how powerful our Creator is. You've been made in the image of God. You're not like a beaver who only knows how to do one thing, cut down trees. You're not like a moose who spends his whole day in the swamp. No, you have been made in the image of God. You're made to think. You're made to talk and communicate. You, above all creatures, are the wonder of these 6 days because you represent God. You've been created with a soul. But the biggest problem that you and I have is that we don't glorify God. We were made the highest of God's creatures, and yet we're fallen into sin. We were the glory and the scandal of the universe. We're made in God's image, but we rebelled against Him. And we're going to be reading from the preparatory form shortly after this. And there we have a whole catalog of sins that we by nature are prone to commit. There's only one way that we can glorify God again. It's by being restored through Christ. Only by being made new in Christ can you glorify God for what He has done. Without Him, you cannot appreciate all that He has created. Without Him, you live in your sin and in your unbelief. In Him, you can know the Lord in the right way. Colossians 1 says, by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Yet He has become the Savior of the universe and has been the curse for our sin. He's your Savior. You believe in Him. And He calls you to acknowledge His greatness by acknowledging everything that His Father has made. And so why did God do this? Why did God create the world in 6 days at the very beginning? We have to ask that question in closing because it's the only way to understand Him. He made it to show His wisdom and His might and His attributes. Jonathan Edwards wrote, if God had not created the universe, there's a sense in which these wonderful attributes of God would not have been made known. We would not see the glory of God Himself. If God didn't create this world, you wouldn't know anything about His glory. If He didn't create you, you wouldn't know anything about His glory. And so the question this afternoon is, have you seen the glory of God and His creation? Do you see why He calls it very good? I encourage you to open your eyes and open your heart to see this great truth of creation. And may you meditate this week on the glory of God in His creation. Amen. Let's now sing 304, number 304 in response. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah from the heavens, praise His name.